This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
An interesting thing happened the other day. Alec Murdaugh was in front of people in a courtroom, and he said, "I am guilty." Now, of course, he has pled guilty in the past or talked about his guilt in the past, but to actually formally do that and avoid a lengthy trial on some of his financial crimes charges, that's all not going to happen now because he's willing to accept the responsibility for the financial insanity that he rained down on so many people. And on top of that, the people that he affected are going to get to go into that courtroom very soon and say, "Here's what you did, Alex. Hope you like it." Mm-hmm. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. This is going to be a real interesting thing when it actually takes place in court. I know this oftentimes does happen where the victims have a chance to make their impact statements and such. How do you view this taking place and the impact that it will have or may have Alec Murdaugh and the victims themselves when that day comes?
It's incredibly helpful for the victims, you know, for people to be able to tell their story and to talk about, you know, the ways that the crime impacted them. On this kind of situation where there was such incredible betrayal, you know, and these people had really gone through hell, you know, all the various cases and really trusted him, I think it's just going to be very wonderful for them to be able to talk about this and have the public recognition and validation. I would expect that, as he's so good at, he will feign remorse and he will probably shed tears and do all the right things. And I think that's about that deep, you know, he's really good at this superficial facade. And so often, you know, we like to think that the victim impact statements really hit and go to the core of the perpetrator. And so often it just really doesn't. And that gets into if they are truly people who are psychopathic, which I think they have to be, mm-hmm. you know, to do a lot of these kinds of horrendous crimes on a repeated basis, they really don't feel compassion for other people. So when I say the emotions are shallow, it means they can, you know, put on an act, but they don't really feel it on a deep internal level. They can go back to their cell and have dinner and watch TV and, you know, and be in a decent mood. So I don't think it will bring any change for him. But it's important for them, and that's sure. what I'm glad about.
And I want to talk about that, how it's important for them in just a second. But I want to talk about someone like an Alec Murdaugh, someone who I very well could see in court exactly what you just described, someone who's going to feign tears, feign emotion, things of that nature. I think it'll be very different than like the defiant type Lori Vallow that we saw where right. she, you know, believes the kids are working at Safeway in heaven or whatever. But with him, I can see him expressing some sort of emotion or what appears to be emotion. People like that, when we're talking an Alec Murdaugh type character, is it because they're not capable of feeling these emotions, that they know how to read the room, they know how to react to people so the people around them get what they interpret that totally. They want? Or do they, I mean, and at the same point, do they desire to feel those sort of emotions, but they can't? Yeah. Is it a real confusing thing in their mind of like, why don't I feel this way? Society says I should, or is it all just a very weird superficial act?
Yeah, it's really interesting because there are brain differences with psychopathic people, and I could get really jargony and technical with that, but basically it's a difference in the wiring between the amygdala and the ventral medial prefrontal cortex. So they don't do emotional empathy. Okay. They don't really feel in the same way the rest of us do. Now, if they're intelligent, they can learn how they're supposed to act, mm-hmm. and they can feign feeling, and they can tune in on other people and notice when somebody needs them to, I'm going to score points here if I look sad, or, you know, I'm going to feign empathy. And obviously he was really good at feigning compassion because he got these injured people, damaged people to trust him, you know, so he can pretend to have compassion for other people. But I think, does he really have the capacity? I think for a person like this who has such a lifelong history of manipulation, conning, and utterly living without shame about this, if he's guilty of the murders, which we can go on the assumption he is. This is a person who's wired differently from mm-hmm. the rest of us. And yet that's why we call it the mask of sanity. They can appear so normal, but really those linkages just don't happen. So they can feign emotions. They've learned what other people want to see, what's expected of them, but they don't really go there inside. You know, they probably aren't laying there awake at night, ruminating and feeling guilty and feeling remorseful. He may sleep like a baby, you know?
Does that make someone like that more dangerous than people who are not, who do feel emotion and do exhibit it because they know how to follow the script better because it is a script for them? So where a lot of us will emotionally react sometimes, maybe more in more dramatic ways than we normally would, just because we're really feeling emotion and emotion comes out in different ways. When you know how the play is supposed to go, and you know what one is expecting of you or how to manipulate someone based on how you react, that's scary because then you're not really dealing with a real person and real emotions. You're dealing with someone who knows how to read emotions, manipulate the emotions, and then insert what they want, and then they're in control of the script.
Exactly. There are two kinds of, I break empathy into two kinds. There's cognitive empathy, which is basically understanding emotions and understanding what people want to see or what people need. You know, mm-hmm. oh, I know my wife is going to be happy if I buy her something for her birthday, but I'm doing it because I want to see her happy because my life goes better, not because he really gets joy out of, you know, doing something that brings his wife pleasure. It's all, everything is a strategy. And that's cognitive empathy. But the emotional empathy is when we see someone experiencing an emotion, we feel it, mm-hmm. you know, so it's more that heart-to-heart connection I always talk about. So if we see someone in pain, we feel, you know, in our core, we sense that pain. So that's the difference. Ideally, we want people, you know, if you're well-developed emotionally, we want to have cognitive empathy plus emotional empathy. And that's a really well-balanced person. But a person is dangerous who has cognitive empathy, but no emotional empathy for exactly the reasons that you stated. They're master manipulators.
Yeah, that is a scary thing to think about. The families, the impacts that they made, we're going to hear a lot of voices that come up, probably the Satterfield children and several others who have been wronged by Alec Murdaugh. Why is it so important for them to have that moment to go up to him and say, look, this is how you affected me? Clearly, I mean, the information's already out there. I mean, I think Alex knows what he did. They know what he did to them. But to have that moment to face the person who has done you so wrong, how is that important for an individual and why is that a healthy thing?
It's just incredibly freeing, I think, to be able to, you know, you've had all this pain bottled up, you know, for years, mm-hmm. anger, grief, all this mess of emotions tangled up inside. And it's incredibly freeing to be able to voice it and to put it out there publicly and to have, you know, a court acknowledge and validate that there are reasons that you're having these feelings. And I think there's always a big component of anger mixed in with the grief and the pain and all these other things that people have experienced with these kind of losses. And it's nice to be able to speak that anger at the person. Mm-hmm. Now, whether it has any impact on that person or not, in all likelihood, it doesn't have a lot of impact on them. We would like to think it did, but I don't think in this case it will change him one bit. But it's good for the victim. And for that reason, I think we need the courts to continue to allow that to happen.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now